Welcome to the Weekly Transit, a podcast exploring the intersection of Western astrology and Jungian psychology. Astrology is a language that communicates how the planets and stars influence life on Earth, while psychology helps us navigate both conscious and unconscious experiences. Together, these tools offer the potential for self-understanding, growth, and transformation. Join astrologer Scott Tajarian and me, psychotherapist Gabriella D'Urso, as we dive into the cosmic forecast each week.
What is up, Gabriella?
Hey,
how
Scott.
Are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Excellent. Thanks for being here. So this week, let's get right into it. We're talking about, to start the week, Mars, the god of war, the planet of action, aggression, and conflict. So let's get right into it. Mars is action. It's transiting through Aquarius, the fixed air sign symbolized by the water bearer. So it's bringing conflict potentially within the group construct, within society. Is there conflicts going on in society? Are there conflicts happening in your group dynamics? Mars forms a square, a stressful aspect to Jupiter, the god of thunder, lord of justice, the planet of luck and expansion. Jupiter, the god of thunder, squaring off with Mars, the god of war. The tension here is Mars is bringing that action and energy to the community, the group, what the group wants, and Jupiter is expanding that energy in terms of your self-worth, your value. So what is it, or is there something that you value that the group is trying to take from you? Mm-hmm. Society is trying to say, oh, well, you can't just have that for yourself. You have to share it with all of us. That's how I kind of see this. The resolution, and this is a transit that's happening from Friday, February 23rd, to Friday, March 1st, with the exact square happening on Wednesday, February 28th. So the resolution comes through finding that balance between what I value, what the group values, what I'm willing to share with the group, and what the group is willing to share with me in return.
So would you say this transit is encouraging us to share with the group, or it's encouraging us to keep what we value close to ourselves? Or is it highlighting kind of that tension?
Yeah, I think all those things. I think that we might feel like we're being forced to share something that we don't want to share. But it's helping highlight what it is we truly value on a personal level, what we need to feel safe and secure in the material realm, but also recognizing that there is more to, there's more to it all than just yourself. You need something from the group. The group needs something from you. We have to find that balanced exchange.
I'm kind of thinking of this word exposed. Like there's something maybe exposing about this experience where you might want to keep your values close to the chest, so to speak, but you're recognizing that there's actually more value in sharing them.
I really like that word exposed when it comes to Aquarius, because I think of Aquarius as the sign that represents coming out of the closet. because Aquarius is the sign that rules homosexuality, and that term coming out of the closet is associated with homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Aquarius is ruled by Uranus. Uranus is the symbol that is Venus flipped upside down. So it's what makes your love or how you express love different from everyone else. But Aquarius is the sign that represents society. It's symbolized by the water bearer. The water bearer is a symbol of society because the water bearer invented the jug for the village. So there's no hiding with Aquarius. You are exposed. So maybe Mars transiting through Aquarius, squaring Jupiter in Taurus, is exposing what you value.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you've been trying to hide your valuables away from the group, but now the group has found you out. You've been outed.
Well, I think there are so many ways that we, in our inner world, in order to figure out what you value, is you sort of try things on, you know, symbolically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And to think about being exposed during that period sounds really challenging. Like, I don't always think, I don't think this is how you mean it per se, but like holding a value just for yourself, I think can be really healthy. It doesn't mean that you're hoarding or that you're hiding necessarily. It takes time to develop your relationship with yourself and to become clear about maybe what you don't value anymore versus what you do. But Uranus is bringing like that element of surprise. And when you're surprised, there is a part of you that's exposed. Like there's a part of you that has to show up authentically in that moment of surprise, where there's an opportunity for people to see maybe what's beneath the surface of something that you might have been trying to kind of manufacture or conceal in some way.
Yeah, maybe I think of it as maybe it's like the community is pushing you to really come to a determination of what it is you do value. Like maybe you don't, you're not clear about what you value, but now your interactions with the group are helping you gain some perspective about what you value.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot to... I think there's a lot of different ways to look at it, maybe. And
yeah, and probably different ways that it's showing up, depending on the aspects in your natal chart.
For sure. Totally. Well, this is happening at 11 degrees is where, or actually 10 degrees. So, but if you have anything at say 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 degrees in your chart, that's in actually any sign, because if it's an air or fire sign, it's aligning with Aquarius. If it's a earth or water sign, it's aligning with Jupiter. And if it's a fixed sign, it's aligning with both of those points. So especially if you have a key point or planet in Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, or Aquarius, something is coming up here in terms of values in the group. So it might not be something that everyone's feeling, but certainly if you have a key point or planet at one of those degrees, 8 to 12 in any sign.
Mm-hmm. I'm also thinking about how this might relate to the process of individuation. And I like what you said about interacting with the group can help you recognize what you value, can help you kind of polish that. And it's interesting, the process of individuation when that idea first came about, when Carl Jung first started talking about it. I think we had a really kind of a one-sided view of what individuation looked like. And typically, individuation looked like stepping away from the group in order to find yourself. Mm-hmm. And part of what I wrote about in my thesis is this idea that individuation looks different for each person depending on their chart and depending on any number of aspects in their life. But sometimes bumping up against maybe what you don't value in the group can help you differentiate. Differentiation is a term that we use in psychology to help us understand how much is someone themselves versus how much is their sort of enmeshment or overlapping between two different people. Especially that term comes up a lot in like family systems therapy. Mm.
But it would also be with the group.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, how differentiated are you in the group?
Right. Yeah. Finding yourself through the group.
Right. And some of what you find might unite you with the group, and then some of it might also be polarizing in a way where it doesn't necessarily mean that you don't get to be a part of that group, but it helps you understand similarities versus differences.
Mm-hmm. And it gives you greater clarity of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hmm. Oftentimes, like what can happen in a family system is you can have children who are not differentiated enough from their parents. Mm-hmm. So they've taken on the identity of mom or dad as their own. And so that in that case, there would be a lack of differentiation. There would be enmeshment is the opposite.
Right.
And so at some point, you do need to differentiate if you have that awareness that you have just sort of taken on these traits of someone in your family.
Yeah. Well, I think this transit is forcing you to find that differentiation between you and the group.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it's doing.
Powerful.
That transit actually is happening exact on Tuesday, February 27th. That's when Mars and Jupiter form an exact square. So I feel like from the 23rd to the 27th is kind of the buildup of how do I fit in the group? What does the group want from me? What do I want from the group? And then maybe it comes to a head on Tuesday. From Tuesday to Friday is when you start integrating the new dynamics between you and the group. So the next transit is the Sun, the planet of light, life, and vitality. Mercury, the messenger of the gods, guide of souls to the underworld, the planet of consciousness, communication, and coordination. Mercury and the Sun, Mercury's passing the Sun this week. So Mercury's been behind the Sun, now Mercury's gonna be moving beyond the Sun. These two are conjunct within 2 degrees of each other from February 26th to March 2nd. That's Monday to Saturday. So hopefully that clears some things up, because like since the Sun has come into Pisces, I'm feeling very like, what is happening? I'm not really clear about anything. Am I making sense? I feel like I'm floating through the ocean. I don't know where anything is. Or if I just feel kind of lost right now in this Pisces energy.
Which is how you're supposed to feel, right?
Yeah.
That's by design.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that sort of dizziness that I'm experiencing, I don't know if anyone else is experiencing that, but the dizziness is to kind of orient you into a new mental framework that is going to help you see things from a different perspective. Like this is maybe where you're like in that Alice in Wonderland phase where it's like you go down the rabbit hole and everything is upside down or different or weird. It doesn't make sense, but it does. I'm so confused. I don't know what I'm saying. All this. Now Mercury's here. So Mercury is the planet of the conscious mind. So with the sun bringing light, life, and vitality to the planet of the conscious mind, hopefully we're receiving some greater conscious awareness of everything that's been going on in our unconscious. Now, the first aspect that these two that are transiting together for 6-7 days, they align with two other planets along the way. The first one is Saturn, the god of wealth and time, the planet of restriction, responsibility, hard work, achievement, and authority. Saturn is also in the mutable water sign, symbolized by the fish, Pisces. On Wednesday, February 28th, the Sun, Mercury, and Saturn are all going to be right on top of each other. These three are in alignment with each other from Monday, February 26th to Thursday, February 29th, but it's on that Wednesday when they're all at the same exact spot. So Saturn's the planet of reality. Mercury is the planet of the mind. The sun is the planet of vitality. Pisces is the sign of dreams. Dreams may feel very real. Right here. Or maybe this is a good time to manifest what it is you want. It feels like this could be a powerful time to manifest your fantasies into reality.
Yeah, this reminds me of what we've talked about on here a couple times, is this invitation to really be more conscious of your fantasy life, like your own hopes and dreams, versus getting kind of swept up in the collective fantasies that are out there. Like really maybe surrendering to your own dreams and fantasies. Like as you're talking about all this Pisces energy, I just have this image of, you know, when you lie on your back in a pool of water and it just sort of, you know, a natural body of water that has some sort of a current to it, and it just moves you a little bit.
Sure.
Like there's something that's moving us that's not of us.
Yes.
That there's an invitation here to just allow yourself to be moved, to be transformed in some way.
When I think about this with the other transit that we just spoke about, which is kind of happening at the same time. It is happening at the same time with Mars and Jupiter.
And how, like, do you see those sitting together?
I mean, just like, what is going on with your relationships within the group? And what is that triggering in your mind? When I think about dreams, it's not just sleeping dreams. Like, how many times have you gotten in your car and driven to work or the grocery store or somewhere where you go all the time? You leave your house, you get to where you meant to go, and you don't really remember how you got there. Does that ever happen to you?
Of course. Okay. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm the type of person that I can drive for 100 miles and I'm not, like, there's a part of me that's consciously aware of, like, the cars around me and the lines and all that sort of stuff, but my mind is someplace else. It's not in the car. My mind is in another place. So what is coming up during this period? You know, like if you're driving to, let's say, a group meeting, you're meeting a group of friends, or you're doing something that involves a group of people and you're on your way there, where is your mind going? What are you thinking about on the car ride? On the way there, on the way home? What was discussed with the group? How did you feel about it? Does the group value your values? Do you value the group's values? Are your values respected? Where does your mind go when you leave the meeting or when you're on the way to the meeting? What's going on up there? What are you thinking about? Where is your mind drifting off to? I mean, that's kind of like you talking about being in the body of water that's just kind of moving you this way or that way. It's not of you. Mm-hmm. So when you're driving, where is your mind going?
Well, we don't really talk about this in Jungian psychology, but we think of things more oriented towards like conscious versus unconscious. But there really is this middle stage, which is what you're describing, which is the subconscious, which is in between those two states, which is where you go when you're in a state of hypnosis or when you're meditating. And it's where, to your point, you don't need to access 100% of your consciousness because what you're doing is so ingrained in you. Like, I think another great example is when you're riding a bike, you can go in that state as well.
Totally. Yes.
Where you have kind of the muscle memory and you know how to do whatever that thing is. And so you don't need 100% of yourself.
Right. Yes. Yes. And so this is happening. This transit is happening right before this other transit that happens with the Sun and Mercury. They also align with Jupiter, but a little bit later after Saturn, because Saturn is at like 9 degrees in Pisces, and Jupiter, by the time the Sun and Mercury form a sextile with Jupiter, Jupiter has moved on to 11 degrees in Taurus. Remember, we were talking about it with Mars squaring at 10 degrees. This transit happens from February 28th to March 2nd. So that's Wednesday to Saturday, with the exact sextile happening on Thursday, February 29th with Mercury, and then Friday, March 1st with the Sun, because by this point, Mercury starts to pull away from the Sun. So something is also like grounding us into reality. And maybe that's the subconscious part where we're not totally lost in the unconscious.
Well, you're not asleep.
You're not asleep.
Right. But you're also not really fully awake, which is kind of scary when you think about all the people on the road in Los Angeles who are kind of driving on autopilot.
Yeah, who
are on the road with you. But who are in probably a similar state, because that's really common.
Yeah.
When you're driving a car is a great example. People go into that zone.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're sitting in traffic in LA or if you're driving in the countryside in the middle of nowhere.
Right. You kind of slip into that space. But when you're in that space, you're especially susceptible to like whatever it is you're listening to, if you're listening to the news or music, or you want to be really mindful, I think, too, in Pisces season in general, around what is imprinting in you.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, well, that also brings something else up. You've just given me an idea, because, you know, part of this, when we're talking about the community of like that Mars in Aquarius, you know, maybe it's you're on social media. What are you viewing on social media? What are you listening to on the radio? What is the information that you're taking in from the technology?
You have to imagine that when you go to that state, that you're almost like wet cement. Like there's a part of you that is so vulnerable to whatever you're seeing, whatever you're hearing. And that really is by design.
Yes.
With the social media part.
There's something hypnotic about Instagram or X, because it's just the scrolling. There's something hypnotic about that, right? It's like following the finger back and forth, up and down, you know, right? They're putting us to sleep.
Yeah. Well, and there's something also comforting or frightening, depending on how you look at it, that you can scroll forever,
essentially. Ends.
Like, I remember when Instagram first came out and you could reach the end of your feed. And there was something really satisfying about that.
Oh, like, it was?
Yeah, for me.
No, for me, it was dissatisfying. I was like, wait, there's no more?
No, for me, it was like the... finishing a project or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's my Virgo moon versus your Pisces moon.
Yeah.
But I remember you could actually reach the end.
Uh-huh.
And now there's this very like existential feeling that you're never going to get to the end. It is endless.
Endless.
And they've really helped to kind of create that fantasy experience that it is endless.
Wow. This week is really about mindful awareness.
How do you do that with Pisces energy? To me, that's a little counterintuitive.
Mercury, the planet of the conscious mind, is transiting through Pisces. So that's bringing greater conscious awareness to the unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Saturn is there. Mercury is aligning with Saturn. Mercury is also aligning with Jupiter in Taurus, which is Earth. Saturn is like this Earth-weighted energy.
Mm-hmm.
Jupiter's in Taurus, which is Earth. Mercury's the conscious mind. This is, you're remembering your dreams. Your dreams are more clear. Is that not something that could be? What do you think?
I can see how it's bringing some containment, okay. I guess.
But what do you mean it's counterintuitive to be mindful during Pisces season?
Well, I think it's like saying, I'm going to go to sleep and be mindful. It's like when you're really accessing the unconscious, you're at the whim of the void. And so there is no bringing mindfulness to that, to the unconscious and its natural state. I guess what you're talking about is trying to kind of bridge the gap.
Yeah. Bridge the gap. Bridge the gap.
Well, when I think about mindfulness, I think of not going into that subconscious state when you're driving, for example. It would be about doing something repetitive, but staying present, staying conscious in it. I think that's what mindfulness is, finding a way to stay present with something that might be feel like a mundane task, like driving.
Right.
Or washing dishes or whatever it is, and not escaping from it by kind of going into that subconscious state. Like if you engaged with Instagram, for example, mindfully, it would be a completely different experience.
Maybe that's what I'm talking about.
I think that's a really tall order. I think it's possible.
Right.
But I think that's what, like, I'm thinking of the writing of, like, Thich Nhat Hanh's work, who I love.
Yes.
Who writes about mindfulness or wrote about mindfulness. He's passed now. But I think that's the challenge, is to stay mindful when you don't have, like, to not let yourself escape.
Or be aware when you are escaping and clear about where you're escaping to, why you're escaping there.
Mm-hmm.
That's being mindful, isn't it? Like, I'm going to go to Instagram now to do fill in the blank. Because one of the things that I find about Instagram is, like, I'll try to go on there to do something specifically, and then I go on there and I forgot what I wanted to do.
Yeah, and that's an example of not being mindful, which I don't want to be too critical about that for anyone who's experiencing that, because Instagram is designed to be a total trap like that. So there's only so much we can control.
I think that something else, it's not just Instagram though. It's like, if you ever had that experience where it's like, you have an idea, okay, I need to go get something from the kitchen. And then you go into the kitchen and you're like, what was I going to get here?
Why am I in here?
Yeah, I know I was going to get something. I don't remember. And it's not until I go back to the other room and I go back to doing what I was doing. It's like, oh yeah, this is what I needed to get. But it's like you walk into this new room and you're seeing this whole different world from where you just were. And it takes your mind into a different place from where it was. And so you forget about what it is you were meaning to do.
I think that happens to me less than you. And maybe that's because you have more of the Pisces energy than I do. I mean, I relate to it on social media, definitely, but yeah.
Yeah, so the Pisces folks out there, and for everyone, though, you know, with all these planets in Pisces, three planets, things might feel a little bit spacey.
Mm-hmm.
But as we move on to the next transit, which are really like three transits that we're going to talk about here, they all include Venus, the goddess of love and beauty, the planet of relationships. Transiting through Aquarius aligns with the North Node, the soul's purpose, the karmic pathway of the soul, in Aries, the cardinal fire sign symbolized by the ram. Venus also aligns with Chiron, the wound, and the ancient wisdom that is unlocked through healing that wound, also in Aries, and then forms a square, a stressful aspect to Uranus, the planet of rebellion, revolution, innovation, independence, the unexpected, transiting through Taurus. So the first transit with Venus and the North Node, and then the second transit, Venus and Chiron, third transit, Venus and Uranus, they go boom, boom, boom. It's like you take these three steps as we end the week. Well, first of all, so Venus is aligning with the North Node from Tuesday to Friday, February 27th to March 1st. So this is happening around the same time as Mars squaring Jupiter, the Sun conjunct Mercury conjunct Saturn, the Sun conjunct Mercury sextile Jupiter. While that's all happening, Venus is forming a sextile to the North Node. And so this is maybe helping with that sort of individuation process, because the North Node is in Aries. Venus is encouraging you to, again, look at your values, the values that you share within the group, within your relationships. Are the people that I'm in relationship with, within the group construct, do they honor, reflect, or at the very least respect my values? Am I able to be myself around the group? Or am I feeling self-conscious? This forms an exact sextile on Thursday, February 29th, The next day, Venus forms an exact sextile on Friday, March 1st with Chiron. So it's like kind of near the end of the week, you're willing to take that courageous step to be yourself. But then in doing so, something comes up that causes some insecurities.
Hmm.
And then by the end of the week, by Sunday, March 3rd, that's when Venus forms the exact square with Uranus, because that transit is happening from Friday to next Tuesday, March 1st to the 5th. By the time Venus squares Uranus, it's like, okay, well, screw it. I'm just going to be me.
Hmm.
And I'll break up with my friends, with my friend group, whatever, because I have to take care of myself. I had a dream last night with all this Pisces energy that said, yeah,
it's time.
I don't belong there.
I
belong someplace else.
Well, I feel like you're highlighting how painful the process of individuation can be.
Okay.
Because it might mean departing from people, places, things, circumstances that you realize don't suit you anymore.
Right. Somebody wrote on the YouTube channel about this Aquarius energy shatters.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so think about Venus in Aquarius, the sign that is ruled by Uranus, squaring off with Uranus in Taurus, the sign that's ruled by Venus.
Hmm.
Something is getting shattered here.
Yeah.
Something within your relationships is being broken out, broken open, outed. Something's shifting.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to cling to the way things have always been. We want to lean into whatever the frequency is that aligns with you being able to say, this is the courageous choice. I am making the courageous choice in my relationship.
Well, whatever this change is, it's directly affecting your identity.
Hmm, absolutely.
And at first, when you're...
your identity is affecting the change, right? Because it's who you are that says, I can't be the way that I've been because who I've been is not who I am.
I think it's a little bit of a chicken or the egg situation.
Right.
Which is kind of what makes it a confusing process.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm thinking about this experience. I'm sure we've all had this over the years. Like, you go into your closet to get dressed one day and you're suddenly have this experience of like, I hate everything that's in here. none of this feels like me. But at one point it did. So sometimes we kind of outgrow our identities in a way. And so we do need to sort of see it as cumulative in some way, in some sort. And you might, in this example with the closet, you might still like some of what's in there, or you can sort of see how a part of you liked it and connected with it, but you can recognize that it's not where you're going. So maybe that's an interesting example to think about. So then you have to go out and cultivate a new identity. You have to decide what you do want to wear.
Yeah.
How you do want to show up in the world.
Making a radical different choice than before.
Mm-hmm.
This is like an extreme makeover.
This happens. Yeah, it happens too sometimes. Like if you get a drastic haircut. Like you cut your hair, right. You color your hair, and then suddenly you go into your closet and you're like,
my hair doesn't work with
my
these
hair
clothes.
Doesn't work like this. I feel so transformed into this new person, and this new person doesn't wear these clothes. It can be almost a disorienting experience.
Totally.
Like this has happened to me sometimes too. Like if I've gone on a trip and then I come home and like someone else has been here, like pet sitting or, you know, something like that.
You always sense their energy.
I always sense their energy, but I also see my own space with a new perspective because I've been gone for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, like sometimes it feels good. Like, oh, I'm happy to be home and it really feels like me. And other times it's prompted me to make some pretty big changes.
But I think you kind of sum up what this week is going to look like, where
there's something disorienting.
It's disorienting, but we're going to be taking a radical look, a radical new look at who we are, who we're with, what we value, what's important to us, and how we relate to everyone in our life. And it might feel somewhat disorienting, and it might feel like kind of an upside down sort of week, but I think it's going to be good. Necessary changes. Necessary shifts. This is a week that hopefully, if you feel like you've been stuck in a rut, this week's going to get you out of it.
Okay.
Yes. You want to do some questions?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay.
Shell X Beach says, thank you so much for being so candid about your North Node experiences. Scott and I share polarity in our placement, North Node in Taurus. Perhaps I need to focus less on merging and working with crisis?
So yes, thank you, Shell X Beach. Yes, I'm a Scorpio North Node. Shell X Beach is a Taurus North Node, so we have that polarity. Your South Node is in the sign of my North Node. My South Node is in the sign of your North Node. To answer your question, the quick answer is yes. You need to focus less on merging and working with crisis. That doesn't mean that you can't merge. That doesn't mean that you can't be involved in crises. What it means is you need to learn about boundaries. And so with the South Node in Scorpio, you may have challenges with boundaries. So if you are getting involved in a crisis of a friend, you may give more than you should. So I think of, for an example, like somebody who's like, say, a therapist like you, Gabriella, if your North Node is in Taurus, that doesn't mean that you can't get involved with people who are in crisis, because oftentimes people that are therapists are working with others who are in various forms of crisis. Yes. So, but in that dynamic, there are very clear boundaries.
Right.
You don't go home with your client. You're not suddenly living with your client 24/7 to help them out of their crisis. You meet with them once a week, twice a week maybe, for 50 minutes each session. There's a very clear boundary.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are not using those boundaries, then you are in that south node frequency of Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
The north node frequency of Taurus says, create healthy boundaries so that you can merge with people, so that you can be involved and help people that are going through a crisis. You can do that because you have good, healthy boundaries that protect your self-worth, what you value, your mm-hmm. material well-being.
I think that's very well put. And I think of this North Node in Taurus placement too, as we mentioned differentiation earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So part of what boundaries means to me in that example that you gave around, you know, being a therapist is recognizing, like, not merging with the pain and suffering of the other person, but recognizing taking care of yourself and your part in it and not letting yourself become enmeshed.
Yeah. Lost in the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Where you've lost your sense of self.
Not equating their suffering with your suffering.
Yeah.
Like being very clear when you find yourself, you might be drawn to situations of suffering, but being very aware in those experiences of what's yours and what's not yours.
Yes. Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Shell X Beach.
Our next question comes from something something L. Thank you both for all that you do.
You're
welcome. A huge fan. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
These are questions and compliments.
Yes.
It's fun. Two questions. First, what is the best platform to ask a question for the podcast?
Spotify.
Spotify is
yes.
the best place.
Yes.
Yep. And second, I know Pluto is a super slow outer planet that impacts me more on the global temperature than our individual experiences. But what does it mean if Pluto is heading towards my ascendant? Curious how the 12th to 1st house shift might feel over here.
If you were born with your ascendant or rising sign at 29 degrees in Capricorn or 0, 1, 2 degrees in Aquarius, you're going through this period where Pluto is transiting over the ascendant from the 12th house to the 1st house. So think of it as like, you're graduating from the school of transforming your unconscious, because the 12th house is the house of the unconscious, so Pluto is completing its transit there. You're completing your assignment of transforming your unconscious, which means you're ready to move on to the next school, which is transforming your personality. Because now that you're unconscious has gone through an overhaul. It's kind of like what you were saying. It's like you've gone on a trip and then you come back and you realize, oh, my closet doesn't really fit for who I am now. I'm a changed person. The way that I think of myself has changed. So the way that I present myself in the world needs to change. I think the main point to take away from this is, if you're experiencing Pluto transiting over your ascendant from the 12th to the 1st house, then be open to the transformation that you're experiencing in your life. Be open to transforming the way that you look, the way that you present yourself to the world, the way that you're perceived by the world.
Hmm.
Be open to that transformation.
Mm-hmm. Your ascendant is also how people experience you first, right?
Yes. So it's how, be open to the transformation of how people perceive you.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to start seeing you differently. You may change the way that you look. You may change the way that you act. But you're going, over the next few years, especially if you were born with Aquarius rising at 0, 1, 2 degrees, like this is from now to the next like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're going through this. It's a long transformation. It doesn't happen overnight. So
mm-hmm.
just be open to, like, how do you want to reinvent yourself?
Mm. Yeah, because it's really the start of a new chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also symbolically, in some ways, the end of, like, the end of that 12th house is completing a cycle on a larger scale, too.
Yeah. What do you mean by that? Tell me more.
Well, it's almost like I'm thinking of the shift between, like, 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
almost like on the clock.
Yeah.
It's not only is it a new chapter, but it's almost bringing you back to like the beginning in some way. Mm. Like there, it feels to me like there's almost a rebirth.
It is happening. It's the end of the one of it's the end of the period that transformed your unconscious, and it's the beginning of the period that's going to transform your personality.
Mm-hmm. So, well, and if you think about it, how that is represented on the body, Pisces rules the feet, mm-hmm. Aries rules the head.
Yep.
So you're literally starting a cycle over.
Exactly.
So yes, you're starting a new chapter, but it's more like you're starting a new book, mm-hmm. I would say.
I would also, you know, think about it in terms of like, because not everybody experiences Pluto transiting over their ascendant.
Hmm.
Right? True. I mean, it takes 248 years for Pluto to transit through the zodiac. So,
good point.
I would think back what was going on back in 1995. In 1995, Pluto was forming a sextile to your ascendant. So, in 1995, 96, maybe 94 to 97, right around those years, you were going through some sort of transformation of your personality when Pluto was transiting through the beginning part of Sagittarius. And if you're old enough, think back to what was going on in your life back in 1983, 84, 85, 86, because at that point, Pluto was squaring your ascendant. So those were all periods where Pluto was aligning with your ascendant, which meant you may have been going through a transformation of how you present yourself and how you are perceived by those around you.
Hmm. Interesting. So those are clues to what might be coming up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So our last question for the day, Chris asks, thank you both for helping transform the collective. My question is, what wisdom does Capricorn offer when in the natal chart in the second house and containing my north node? Chiron is in my eighth house.
In Cancer.
That's
right. She's got the crab emoji.
Crab okay.
Emoji. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for translating, Scott.
Yes. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for your support of the podcast. I'm presuming that your north node is also in Capricorn, not just in the second house, because you said your second house is in Capricorn. So with the second house in Capricorn, and the north node in the second house in Capricorn, the wisdom there is you're learning how to take a responsible approach to money, financial investments. I think of you as somebody who's going to really benefit from working with a financial planner, somebody who is going to benefit from looking at where you want to be financially in the next 6 months, next year, next 5 years, next 10 years, and really creating goals for yourself on a yearly, monthly, weekly, daily basis to put money away to support you in building your wealth based on what you value, based on what's important to you. Now, with Chiron in the eighth house in Cancer, it means that you have a wound to how you merge power with others, how you share money with others. Mm-hmm. It's rooted in your past, your upbringing, your childhood, the ones who raised and nurtured you, your ancestors. So it's like you're sort of maybe breaking these old habits to creating new habits that are healthier for you. You have ancient wisdom in bonding with others, ancient wisdom in your roots that maybe teach you how to bond with others through having experienced the wound with others through sharing money and intimacy. We don't want to go down that path again, though. Mm-hmm. So in order to navigate to the new path, you want to create those goals, mm-hmm. that are supported by healthy boundaries. This is similar to what Shell X Beach was asking earlier with her north node in Taurus, because the second house is associated with the second sign, which is Taurus. So Chris needs to create healthy boundaries. Doesn't mean that Chris can't merge with other people, but through that merging, there needs to be clear parameters about what is Chris's and what is the partner's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anytime we have a wound, we understand what doesn't work about that particular dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
which also means that we do understand what would work too. We just haven't necessarily experienced it. But there's that polarity there is, I think, is that wisdom that you're talking about hidden in Chiron is it's kind of a yin yang situation. You're really familiar with the wounded, aspect, but you can also reach for that opposite experience with whatever that topic is.
Right.
And one thing I'm curious about, when you were talking about how there's this wound from the past around merging power, I was thinking immediately, I don't know if this, Chris, if this resonates with you or not, but how we really learn about our relationship with money from our parents, from our family system. And so much of that Capricorn energy is about trying to approach life from an adult perspective. And so part of what might be coming up here, if there was a wound in the way that your family or your parents in particular related to money, and here you are trying to be in a, you know, step into an adult perspective, you might find that you need some new role models for how to do that.
Good point. Yes.
So that could be, and maybe that comes from that financial advisor, or maybe there are other, you know, in the manifestation world, they're called expanders, like people that you can look to and that you admire for the way that they relate to money. Because for some of us, that might not be our parents. And so we might need to kind of imagine into what that would be like.
I almost wonder, like, would Chris benefit from working with a financial advisor? Because now I'm starting to think of it differently. Well, because a financial advisor is somebody who's going to be very intimate in terms of their finances. But I guess that's okay because there
It's a business relationship.
There's boundaries in that relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, the bottom line is that Chris needs to learn how to take responsibility to protect their investments in financial and material security.
Yeah, I think just be careful of, maybe this is what you're alluding to, but be careful of financial advisors who are benefiting too much from your portfolio. Is that what you're feeling into?
I just want to make sure that they're like, that Chris is very aware of their own finances. And not just like giving the money to a financial advisor and it's like, oh, they take care of everything. I don't know what I have or what I'm invested in, or I don't know. They deal with it. No, no, no. You should know. Should be very kind of hands on.
Okay. So maybe learning from someone directly, taking some classes or
maybe.
Like making sure that the knowledge is yours.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Responsibility for what is yours. That's the key. That you are clear that you have taken full responsibility over what you value, your material well-being. That's it. Responsibility. Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready to go for a swim in the ocean? in the ocean of alcohol? Because it's Pisces season? Because that's what I feel like I've been doing right now.
This has been a very floaty episode.
I hope you've been able to follow along. And I hope you know, what we shared here was helpful to you. And hopefully by next week, when we're still in that Pisces vibe, we've sort of... You know, the ocean doesn't feel so vast. Maybe like we've kind of adapted to the new frequency, because right now I feel dizzy.
Yeah.
So
we need someone to come along and like tie a rope. Like if we're on floaties, we need someone to like tie a rope to the shore.
Yeah. So that we don't
float, float all the way out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Until next time.
Until next week. Yes.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Transit. If you're curious to learn how these transits or any others may be affecting you, or if you are interested in learning more about your astrological code, contact me for a reading at theweeklytransit.com. If you're interested in delving into the world of psychotherapy with Gabriella, you can connect with her at innervisionpsychotherapy.com. Music written by Ben Leinbach from Listen Deep by Amber Herzog Lyman. This episode was produced by me, Scott Tajarian. Wishing you all the best as you ride the planetary waves.